At that time, when the days of Mary's purification were fulfilled according to the law of Moses, they took Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We can say today, on this feast of Candlemas, that Jesus was born 40 days ago, December 25th. 32 days ago, he was brought to the temple for the circumcision. But today's a different feast, because Jewish law held that 40 days after the birth of a child, the family had the purification ritual, especially the mother. Of course, Mary, the most pure thing that ever walked the planet, was not in duty bound to purification, but legally she was. And this is why we have this most ancient feast of all Marian feasts in what is called the Purification of the Blessed Virgin Mary, or Candlemas Day. Your Angelus Missal gives an excellent short history, which I'll read here. The Feast of Candlemas, which derives its origin from the local observance of Jerusalem, marks the end of the feasts included in the Christmas cycle of the liturgy. It is perhaps the most ancient festival of Our Lady. It commemorates not only the obedience of the Blessed Virgin to the Mosaic law in going to Jerusalem 40 days after the birth of her child and making the accustomed offerings, but also the presentation of our Lord in the temple and the meeting of the infant Jesus with the old man Simeon, the Cursus Domini, as the feast was anciently termed. This is the principal theme of the liturgy on this day. Jesus is taken to the temple to present him to the Lord. So the Lord comes to his temple and is met by the aged Simeon with joy and recognition. The procession on this day is one of the most picturesque features of the Western liturgy. The blessing and distribution of candles to be carried, lighted in procession, precedes the Mass today, a symbolic presentation of the truth proclaimed in the Canticle of Simeon, that our Lord is the light for the revelation of the Gentiles. The anthems sung during this procession, Eastern in origin, will express the joy and gladness of this happy festival and the honor and praise we give to our Blessed Lady and her Divine Son by our devout observance. So this takes us back to some very ancient rituals, but also takes us back to this world that Jesus, Mary, and Joseph would have traveled through to get to the temple 2,000 years ago. As I preached in Advent, I think a lot of first century Jews felt the world around them was falling apart, even amidst their ancient liturgies. Same with us. We just had such a beautiful procession with candles to the courtyard, and yet so many things seem hanging by a thread in our country, in the church, in the state, in the world, in our families. A brother of a parishioner said this to him, and he actually recounted it to me last night. He said, America's kind of like a plane that is crashing. With Hillary president, it would have been everyone watching a movie as the plane went down of a plane going down. Where at least with Trump as president, it's like the plane's still going down, but we get to watch a happy movie while it goes down. That was a pretty funny way to describe our world right now. But today Jesus comes to old Simeon, and St. Augustine in the old Divine Office makes the brilliant analogy that a child came to an old, decrepit world too. Not just an old man, but a world that had become very old and tired through sin. We'll get to that a little bit later. But remember, Simeon was a holy man, praying and fasting every night and every day in the temple. Imagine you're there. Imagine you're in the temple 2,000 years ago. You've been watching Simeon waiting for this Messiah for so long. Imagine seeing his face when he first recognized that the Messiah had entered the temple. Maybe you'd see all the Pharisees praying loudly to Yahweh, unaware that this old man was actually holding Yahweh as a baby up in his arms at this moment. And now the old man is so joyful he can actually die in peace, because God kept his promise that Simeon would see the Messiah face to face before dying. Now thou dost dismiss thy servant, O Lord, according to thy word in peace, because my eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to the revelation of the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Simeon is, of course, there with Anna. Growing up, I'd always pictured Simeon and Anna married for some reason, but Simeon and Anna are not married. They're just two celibate hermits living in the temple and praying for the coming of the Messiah. In fact, St. Luke also tells us that Simeon was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. What does that word consolation of Israel mean? The Greek for the consolation of Israel is actually paraklesin to Israel. St. Jerome translated it as redemption, but the Greek dictionary also says it is equivalent to being set free. Remember that Jesus and Mary and Joseph and Simeon and Anna lived in a time when it seemed that both the state leaders and the Jewish religious leaders were corrupt through and through, as I preached in that one sermon in Advent. And I think most conservative Catholics now are done turning a blind eye to the fact that these are near-apocalyptic times in both church and state. But I want to tell you something that happened to me yesterday. Yesterday I met a young priest, actually of this diocese, who did not seem weighed down by any of this. He had a childlike joy about him. All he wanted to do is show me his relic of St. Therese of the Child Jesus and tell me how much he loved the Blessed Virgin Mary. The reason I knew this was sincere and not bragging was because normally this piety is knocked out of all of us our first 2 years in seminary. Somehow, he had not become jaded. In fact, he told me how he actually had the perfect life before seminary and was going to get married. But he fell in love instead with the Blessed Virgin Mary. And now he prays 20-plus decades a day. None of this was bragging. It was just an overflowing of joy that Mary was his, and he was Mary's, and also St. Therese's. I realized as we talked for about an hour that this young priest was living a classic phrase the church uses in regards to Mary, causa laetitiae, cause of our joy. Mary is the cause of our joy. Why? Because Mary brings us Jesus. What better feast than today? Mary brings us Jesus. Because the world can be falling down around us, and yet we still have the love of a mother. The world can be falling down, and yet we still have the love of the best mother possible. This young priest brought a new lightness and joy to me to drop my conspiracy theories. Not because they're untrue. I think most of my conspiracy theories on the church and state are true, but because they don't matter. Since in the face of a mother like Mary before Simeon, in a temple that was built by corrupt money and was surely in the land of a corrupt state in cahoots with the Romans, Mary and Jesus are the one who makes us all young and joyful again, even with the corruption that's around us, even with the corruption in our hearts that was not in their hearts. In fact, as the world is old again in sin, perhaps more than ever before, as the world now, in 2018, is old again in sin, we know of the promise from Fatima that we are on the verge of the triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. God has not left us alone. We have that promise. We are coming upon the triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. This is the consolation of the new Israel, because the new Israel is the Catholic Church. This setting free surely must be coming. It happens every time we go to confession, and it does seem we're on the verge of a great breakthrough. So we have nothing to fear, because one, we are with Jesus in the Eucharist, right here. Two, we are with Mary, the cause of our joy, and nearly invincible with the daily rosary, if you pray that. And three, we have Joseph, the guardian of the church, the guardian of the family, and the guardian of a good death. So what more do we need than those three? Psalm 90, Psalm 91 says, 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. St. Ambrose writes in today's Ancient Divine Office, the birth of the Lord is attested not only by angels and prophets and shepherds, but also by elders and just men. Every age and both sexes, as well as the miracles of the events themselves, are here to strengthen our faith. And I add to that that even though Jesus came to the just man Simeon, again, St. Augustine points out that he represents a decrepit old world. But even that, Jesus makes new again. Christ makes the old man young again. St. Augustine also writes in today's Matins, Simeon lingered in the world to see the birth of him who made the world. The old man knew the child, and in that child became a child himself. For in the love wherewith he regarded the Father of all, He felt his own years to be but as of yesterday. The old man Simeon bore the newborn Christ, and all the while Christ was the old man's Lord. It had been told him by the Lord that he should not taste of death before he had seen the birth of the Lord's Christ. Now Christ is born, and all of the old man's wishes on earth are fulfilled. He that came to a decrepit world came to an old man. St. Augustine's Latin there is so beautiful and poetic. Literally, he was made a child in the child. Factus est in puero puer. Factus est in puero puer. He that came to a decrepit world came to an old man. The old man knew the child, and in that child became a child himself. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.